idea that he cares and loves us. Praise God. In the book of Jeremiah, the third chapter, I'd like to read a verse, Jeremiah 3:15. Amen. How many here have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Many, most. Amen. Aren't you glad how that the Lord, by His Spirit, leads you, inspires you, directs you, gives you witness for things in your life to continue in or to discontinue? Have you developed a trust? Has it led to a confidence that God leads you in your life? Amen. That's a wonderful thing. Not to be taken for granted. When I go to the Lord in prayer, or as I am spending time in communion with the Lord, in any part of the day, there are times when it is just that. It's communion. It's communing. I may express some things to the Lord, and most typically, He does most of the talking. Now, I may express some things, but usually about the time I've finished expressing myself, He begins to express Himself. Tries to help, tries to lead, tries to direct. And of course, I have to choose to follow. Amen. But I have that benefit. He baptized me with the Holy Ghost. He put in me a heart of flesh, removed the hard heart, the stony heart, gave me a heart of flesh, leads me in my personal life. If the Lord wants me to intercede for a situation, a somebody, in maybe a someplace, all He has to do is begin to lead me in that, and I pursue and follow. And it's been my experience that there have been times and seasons where He engaged me by His Spirit, and then He lifted that. And I was content to step out of that and go on with life until that would return. But see, he has chosen to lead believers by His Spirit. And so if He chooses me to intercede on the behalf of some individual, you realize the Bible says He is our intercessor. And so, but He operates through the body of Christ. And so when He is leading me into intercession, it's Him who is interceding. If He would wish for me to be engaged in spiritual warfare, those things that are not of the flesh, but those things that affect things around, outside, spirit world, then He will engage me. He will lead me. And because I have become a disciple, this disciplined follower, and a son of God to be led of His Spirit. They that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Nobody has to convince me to go there. Because it's where I choose to live in Him day by day by day by day. Amen. Jeremiah 3:15 says, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Today, I would dare say there are thousands, yea, hundreds, maybe, of thousands of men and women across the planet whom today God is leading by His Spirit and feeding flocks, ministering to congregations, groups, assemblies around the world, because He is able to do this. He is God. He is God alone. And so our dependency, we don't place on others as much as we place on His leading in our lives and the provision that He makes to us. I have got on a plane and gone to a general conference, which we would call the Assembly of Assemblies. The General Conference of the United Pentecostal Church, and the mass amount of ministers, preachers there who have faithfully lent themselves year after year after year to what we're talking about here now. God inspiring, leading, directing, them feeding, them helping. Only to discover that the same messages that I'd been preaching in the last 2 weeks, they were preaching at the general conference. Of course, there's nobody there with me to, you know, turn and look and say, can you believe that? But I get the resolve in my own self. All right. I am a man being led by God's Spirit. This lets me to know that there are many, many, many in the earth today whom God is leading by His Spirit. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you have vested into the church, into the body of Christ. That which began back in Acts chapter 2 in Jerusalem at the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the messages that came upon men, the inspiration that was upon Peter that day when he stood up and quoted Joel chapter 2, and that he went on to say, in the times that you use the apostles to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. The clear sound of your voice alone. I'm thankful for that. Praise God. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 23. Here's a word of warning to the pastors. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Whoa, why would he say that? Because he loves his sheep. And he is the good shepherd. He is the chief shepherd over his sheep. Book of Mark, chapter 10. Aren't you glad that he brought you into his fold? His fold. Maybe we should just quote this together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me. He leadeth me beside the danger, no, the still waters. He restoreth my soul. I know I haven't quoted it recently either. I'm fishing. I'm looking for your help. What's the next words? Yea, though I walk. You know what? It doesn't matter the order of all this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Have you experienced that? Sure we have. What's next? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Come on, help. Speak up louder. My hearing's going bad. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine neighbors, enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. You know that lady, Shirley, goodness. And then her neighbor, Mercy. That's what I thought they were singing when I was a kid. Shirley, I was always wondering, who is Shirley Goodness, and why would anybody name somebody that? I had an Aunt Shirley, that's why. Shirley Goodness, say it with me. Shirley Goodness and Mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. He is our shepherd. He is our shepherd. To me, a contrast to a shepherd is what was described in the Old Testament when, the Israelites were in Egyptian bondage and they were being made to work, and make bricks, so that Pharaoh could build his cities. And there were those who were immediately over the workers. Slaves, really. They weren't workers. They were slaves. And they called them taskmasters. And one description is hard taskmaster. To me, that is two different ends of the spectrum of a shepherd. And then there would be the hard taskmaster. Now, I have known a few pastors that somewhere took a left when they should have taken a right. They zigged when they should have zagged. And rather than becoming a shepherd, they seem to have made their way to becoming a hard taskmaster. I'm thanking the Lord Jesus Christ for his spirit today. Amen. Mark chapter 10 at verse 35. And we're going to read more than just a scripture or two here. Mark 10 and 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. He said unto them, What would you that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand and the other on the left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, You know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of, be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? They said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, You shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and the baptism that I'm baptized with shall you be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. When the 10 heard it, the 12 apostles, two were speaking, 10 were listening in the background. When the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John, their dear brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, You know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. He's talking to the 12. He's not talking in generality. He has just recognized that there were two whose egos had got involved, and they were wanting to be seen, sitting one on the left, one on the right. We're the closest to you. Come on. We're the closest. And we just want to sit one on the left and one on the right. And, you know, when you come into your kingdom, and their heads have swelled so large, and they'd forgot there was even 10 others. And so he is trying to help their understanding here. So he chooses out an example of lordship being exercised, authority being exercised upon by rulers. And he says, it shall not be so among you. That's not the pattern that you're going to follow. That's not the pattern that I have gave to you. His pattern was, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. That's not the pattern. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. Whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He didn't save his life. He surrendered his life. He didn't pursue his will. He gave up his will. Amen. I have one more setting of scripture that I would like us to read. Acts chapter 20 at verse 22. The Lord was careful in communicating things for the sake of his body, the flock, the church, the assembly of the righteous, that he said he would build. And he's fully aware that there are scenarios that would develop within this process and over a period of time that would bring a certain amount of threat to the security of the flock, of the sheep. And so there were various warnings. You can probably help and quote this with me. Straight and narrow is the gate that leadeth unto life. Now, I thought I'd have more participation with that one. Broad is the path of destruction. Straight and narrow is the gate that leadeth unto life. And the immediate following verse is, beware. Oh, I'm glad you're listening so closely. Beware of false prophets. And so we see these warnings through scriptures at various times to help give us understanding that as the hours progress in the world that we know it, in the kingdom of God, and before his return, that there would be things that we would, or somebody would, witness in the generation that they were living in. There were so many warnings back in that generation, I would You would think, well, that's old stuff. That's way back then. That's thousands of years ago. Only to recognize, wow, that word is just as current, it's current now or more so than even when it was spoken. The world, when it was spoken, was a slow world. You didn't get in your car and drive across town. You did good to even make the trip across town. You went across the street. You went across the neighborhood. You went in your own community. Never mind a state, a country. You know, these things didn't even enter into dialogue or conversation. The travel, the involvement, or the exposure to the things that you can be exposed to today with the onset of internet availability. I want to be conscious. I want to be careful of the voices that I allow to pervade and persist to my being and in my mind. Amen. And I have a loving shepherd who cares more than I care for me. Amen. I don't know why I was thinking of this thought while we were singing. You'll hear a statement used from time to time that will, usually it's at the close of some ministry session on a radio or something like this, a media. Be sure and attend a growing church. You ever heard that statement? Radio speakers use that often. Be sure and attend. Now, be sure and attend a growing church. Am I the only one that's ever heard that? What does that mean? Does it mean that, if there's 10 more this next Sunday and 10 more the Sunday after that, I mean, talking about attendance, members, you know, people coming. Is that what they're talking about? I think it's what they're meaning when they're saying that, because they are going to any length to purvey themselves as some kind of a growing situation, knowing that the majority of churches in America run about 70, 75 people. But it feels to me like an allurement. You know, don't stay in that dead, dry, boring, you know, we've done that from time to time. Pentecostal churches have made those statements. Don't stay in that small thing. You know, you should be a part of a growing church like ours. Come help us make our payment. Do you think that's what God intended? Do you think you can build anything more or better than he can build? He said he'd build his church. Do you think you can do more than what God could do? If it's truly building the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't assume that. I don't assume that. What I do assume to do is to shepherd, to watch over, to care for, minister to, and hope to see enough evidence to follow that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Waiting on God, feeling after God, ministering to, reaching out for, and leave the church building up to him. In the context of the statement that he made. Amen? We're going to get to Acts 20 now. Ready? Acts 20 and 22. And now behold, this is Paul writing, by the way. I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Paul, just expect it. You're going to be in bonds. You're going to be afflicted wherever you go. I am leading you, and I want you to go there. Don't let those circumstances deter you from fulfilling my will. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. How does he know that? Because he's a man in communion with God, and there is something of the Spirit that God is revealing to him. You realize that Paul declares, I didn't receive the gospel of men. Nobody showed me Acts 2:38. I got it by revelation. You look at the gospel that he preached, death, burial, resurrection of Christ, repent, be baptized, receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The message was the same as what Peter preached at Pentecost, but he didn't get it from Peter, although he did meet Peter. He received it by revelation. I know that there are times when men, myself included, has strongly communicated the message that you have got to receive it of men. You know, this is why that the angel said, go call Peter. He'll tell you what you need to do. You know, if he had a need and the angel knew the need, why didn't the angel just tell him? He was standing in his kitchen. And so I have taken that scripture to say, no, because God wants you to hear it from other men. This is the plan that he has in the earth. See, what that does, it secures the idea that you need me. Paul says he didn't get it from a man. Yeah, somebody baptized him, Ananias. Ananias laid hands on him. We know he received the Holy Ghost, although it didn't declare it there in that particular setting of Scripture. But down the road, on this path of his life, God used him to communicate the message of the gospel. So, is God able to do that again and again and again and again throughout the earth? Well, absolutely. You don't think he's dependent on airplanes or internet, do you? You know, me getting to a certain meeting to get to hear a certain message. God's not defective. He's not hindered. He is able. There was a brother Unvery at a conference in Anaheim, California years ago that I went to. And, you know, they had him come and speak, and he was just all wowed at this general conference of the United Pentecostal Church and how all these people. Brother Cebolci had met this guy in a military base and said he ended up in a home meeting with him, and the man shared with him that he believed that people should be baptized in Jesus' name and waited for Brother Cebolci's response. And Brother Cebolci said, I believe that too. You do? Oh, yeah. He said, you know, there's believers back in the United States. There's thousands and thousands of them. There are? He said, the Lord showed that to me. I've been baptized. I've baptized over 100 churches in the name of Jesus Christ. They put me under house arrest for 2 years. He said, I baptized more people while I was under house arrest because they would put me in the trunk of a car and sneak me out. And he was convinced he was the only one in the world that had the revelation of baptism in Jesus' name, the oneness of God. And so here he is standing at a general conference. There's 35,000 people there. And Brother Sabolchi saying, look, all these people believe what you believe. He got it by revelation. You think God is not capable of that? I'm making fun. Of course you believe God is capable of that. And by his leading and by the ministry of his word and spirit here today, he can talk to you. He can minister to you right here where you are. He gave to the church pastors, ministers who you have to believe have communed with God, waited on God, and have brought to you a word from God. Well, so do you speculate or do you think, okay, well, I wonder, I hope that's from the Lord today. Or listen to me. Or can your spirit bear witness with the words that you hear? Sure. Because that's what he gave you. His spirit to bear witness. Don't underestimate the value of that, of what you are, of what he's given to you, and the hour and the expectation that he has upon you. He. Where were we? Verse 25. Now verse 26. Holy Ghost has showed him, I'm not going to see you people anymore. Wherefore I take you to record this day. So he's going to make a last statement here. I'm leaving. I'm not coming back. And I want to make some comments. Therefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Well, wait a minute. God is God. How much counsel does God have? Well, you know, there's a limit. And he has it all, Paul. He's gave it all. What does that mean? No, that's not what that means. Everything that God put on the heart of Paul to communicate to the people, he failed not. He didn't hold anything back. Everything he showed him, everything he revealed, he ministered and told him. That's all I'm accountable to do. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. So the Holy Ghost gives you oversight over a flock. Wait a minute. I thought we voted that guy in. Whatever the process is for election in whatever situation you might be acquainted with, if that's how the Holy Ghost brought that all to pass, great. Doesn't matter. Because it's your spirit again that bears witness with the fact. This is my oversight. This is my overseer. I have developed a confidence in that. Through the ministry of the Spirit and Word, that this is oversight that God's placed in my life. This is why when people trickle along and say, you know, we're shopping churches, I encourage them to be sure. You don't want to be here if you're not supposed to be here, I promise you. You'll be uncomfortable. You'll be unsettled. You'll have a hard time receiving the things that I say to you. But if you know, and you've already waited out, and you've measured and waited on God, and you can affirm and say, this is where I belong, then you can readily receive the word as the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. Isn't that awesome? We can have a confidence in God in this. This is the work of the Spirit. There is God-given oversight. And he makes reference to it. The Holy Ghost made you overseers. And it's the flock that I'm talking about that the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Be careful. You've got access to so much. You can pick and choose all day long on YouTube. And you may hear some things that really come close to what you're feeling that day. That's okay. Don't call YouTube your pastor. Don't become convinced in your mind that your oversight, God-given, to cover, to protect, to watch over the flock, is on YouTube. Now, I happen to be on YouTube. I've had calls from people. Hey, I was watching on YouTube, man. You said this and you said that. Can you help me? Can you share with me? And can you tell me? Man, where do you go to church at? Do you have a pastor? Who is he? Have you talked to him about this? Well, no. But you know, well, hey, listen, man. Call him. I know he wants to talk to you. Call and sit down with him and ask him these same questions. Okay, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Now that's quite a picture, you know, grievous wolf. But anybody not sparing the flock is a danger. Let's see what he goes on to say here. Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. I would let that be a signal to me. I would let that be a signal to me when somebody is communicating a message that is dividing of the flock and separating me out from the flock and be drawn unto the one doing the speaking, I would let that be a signal and a caution. I told you about years ago how I'd gotten involved in Amway and their whole thing was, it's not an Amway thing, it was a Brit organization thing, people involved in it. That the message communicated was counsel upline, counsel upline, counsel upline. Get two tapes a week, order two tapes a week. Get automatic order of two tapes a week. Sign up, two tapes a week. So I was listening to all these tapes, all these people. I won't throw their names out there today. And whatever I was hearing in that was causing me to look at my pastor differently. You know, losers don't get into this business. Only winners do. Well, I want to be a winner. I want to be associated with winners, right? That's at 22 years old, you're kind of stupid. Pray your way through 22. There's a bumper sticker for you. I was really vulnerable and realizing I was starting to view my pastor differently. The communication to me from him that used to just be the breath of life for me started to diminish. It was slow. Didn't even realize it was happening because I was being seduced. Until one day the Holy Ghost spoke to me. Thank God I had the Holy Ghost. I probably turned the volume down on Holy Ghost for a few weeks. I don't know. But all of a sudden, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Counsel up line. They weren't believers. They talked about heaven and God. They were not believers. Boy, something checked me in my spirit. I called my upline direct and said, I'm out. You're potentially the sharpest guy in my organization. Seduce. Hey, this world's full of voices. And there are those who will draw men after themselves. Why is it that the scripture, you know, we thought it got miswrote. That if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto your church. That's what we thought it should say. Shouldn't we? It's kind of like when you're reading it along and people are quoting it, you're waiting for them to say, if we lift him up, he'll draw all men into the church. This church. It doesn't say that at all. If I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto me, Jesus. But wait a minute, how's that going to benefit us? Motive check. I know, we're just talking out loud here. We're not laughing out loud. And this has been stirring in my spirit. Not for a day or two. Also of your own selves will men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. What? And to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. He's getting ready to leave. He's commending them to the Holy Ghost. Well, best of luck. What? Wait a minute. We got to send somebody in there. We got to get control over that. Do you mean it's possible that there are believers in the world who actually just look to God? They open their Bibles in the morning. They read. They have some kind of a faith and a devotion, and they pray and pursue God without somebody taking charge over their life? Ronald Joseph. He was our district secretary for many years here. Walla Walla, Washington. Just say it. You feel like you're getting the Holy Ghost right there. Somebody passed through Walla Walla, a preacher with a tent, and preached the Acts 2:38 message. His mom received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in a tent out there along the road. Well, the guy only stayed it a week or so, and then he packed his tent up and he headed on. There was no church. There was no pastor. There was nobody. Him and his mom. Well, he had a brother, Wren, and I think a sister. But anyway, this is his story. They were there for 2 or 3 years before anybody else came along that believed that message. And they just kept their faith in God. They read their Bible. They prayed. They practiced praying in the Spirit. I mean, they did it. And God kept them. Imagine that. Ronald Joseph became the pastor of Walla Walla. Ronald Joseph became the district secretary of a Washington District United Pentecostal Church. I got to see him not too long ago. I thought he'd passed away. They were there. They're still there. But there were times in Scripture when these apostles, even passing through areas, that would reach out. When I was traveling in China with Caleb Tan, we would go into groups of people and have a tremendous move of God, and you just ministered and delivered whatever there was, you know, on your heart. And he would tell me going in, we will not get back to these people for 2 years. They are meeting here tonight, putting their lives at risk because whatever you have come to say, they don't have pastors. They don't have pastors. And night after night after night was a different group in a different area, a different part of the country. And there were no pastors. There's no churches or church signs. There are assembly of believers. But they don't want anybody to know that. First names only. So is God able? Is he capable? You think God could use those people on a world scale? He can use anybody on a world scale from any point on the planet. Any believer who yields to the leading of God's Spirit, God can use. He doesn't need thousands. He doesn't need hundreds of thousands. He needs a intercessor. He will look for a intercessor. He will look for one believer who will yield themselves wholly in his spirit. And he will achieve that which he wants to accomplish. He's not limited. We are. Therefore, watch and remember. Oh, read that. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Let's stand. There's a young man that got a job at my grandfather's company. He was in his early 20s. He was single. And I went to work at my grandfather's company, dairy processing plant. Became good friends with Roger Campbell. And we drank together, we partied together, got in trouble, played softball together, did a lot of stuff together. I was a lot younger. And he started dating a woman who had a little kid by the name of Bradley. Man, Bradley was so cute. 5 years old, he could throw a ball. We were playing softball, and his wife was out there, and Bradley was out there. Or first they were just dating. Anyway, he ended up marrying her. And then it was Roger and I that got into Amway. So I had this ongoing relationship. And during that season of time, we were coming home from a meeting one night, and he said to me, "Do you know what it means to repent?" "Yeah, why?" He said, "I think I did it the other night." You see, Barb, Roger's wife, was the backslidden daughter of Pastor Daniel Leslie. You think he doesn't know your number? Amen. And he's working a plan of coordination. He said, "Man, I went to church the other night and something come over me and I just began to cry." "You cried, Roger?" "Yeah." Do you know, when I turned my heart to God, all I knew to do was to go to Grandma's church. And I only stayed there 2 months, because when Roger repented and got the Holy Ghost, his wife still wasn't going to church. And I thought, he needs somebody to encourage him. So I will encourage Roger by going with him to the United Pentecostal Church in Yakima. That was my motive. I wasn't looking for truth. Are you kidding? I didn't know what truth was. And I walked in there with Roger, support him, keep him going. I smoked 2 packs a day. He smoked 4 packs a day. So I thought, he's worse than me. He needs my help. Oh, dear Lord. In 2 weeks, I'd received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, was baptized in Jesus' name. They shared to me the gospel. Acts 2:38, death, burial, resurrection of Christ. And that was the beginning. I wish I could just hear every one of your stories tonight of how God led you, with the exception of Nathan Heiner. He was born. He loves us. He loves us so much. Where's Sister Johnson at? How about Sister Schoonover? Why don't you come on up? Oh, you'll go get her. Okay. Can you trust the Lord? Amen. He wants you to. He knew us in our darkest hour. I wonder how many miracles are standing here today. You know, I was an alcoholic at one time, and I was dating a girl who was in a rock and roll band. Can you believe that? And she started running around with one of the guitar players. And in my drunkenness, on the way home one night from a bar, I had picked out a tree. With every intention, when I met with the tree, I was going into it. I don't know what kept me that night. That was just one of several nights. Alcohol's a terrible thing. Drugs, they alter your ability to rationalize. I can remember twice in my life when I just hit the accelerator and wanted to see how far I could go before wrecking, only to spin out and still be on four wheels. And then come to my senses and think, what in the world? Why did I do that? How many times did the devil try to take me out? And the Lord said, no, peace of mind. Because I can see down the road, and there's a place that I've ordained. You can't have him. How many times do you think he has said that about you? He knew me in my darkest hour. He loved me and went to the cross for me in my darkest hour. That's how he cares. He cares for you today. He cares so much for you today. I wonder that maybe you could do like I did. Several times he reached out to me and said, Larry, I love you. And I could not respond, or my response was negative and I turned away. Until the night driving home from Spokane, I said to him, I love you too. And it began to change my world. God gave me a beautiful wife, a godly wife. He's given us godly children, children who have chosen to serve the Lord, to walk with Him. Children who love their father and their mother. I can't tell you how thankful I am of that. Having come from a broken home when it seemed like everybody was at each other's throats. And to this day, I don't know. God gave to me what we never had. He just gave it. He loves us. Would you just respond to the Lord today and say, I love you too? This altar is for you. This altar is for you. He loves you. He cares for you.
There is a God.